Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality are here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in Myth March. That's really hard to say, Myth March. But I'm really excited about it. Go ahead, Aime.
Well, our topic, we're doing the myth of change, and I have two ways I think change can go. Ready?
Off with
yes.
your head!
Did you get that?
Yep, that's
or
one way.
It could go this way.
That was easy.
Yeah, that was totally easy. Thank you. He was always really good at sound bites. I think I really want to thank her for that. So, and we have a new member. Hopefully he'll be coming in and out of the cafe, depending what topics we're talking about and how he'd like to be a part of the conversation. Mr. Jeremiah, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, you are welcome anytime. So scoot up to the table, and here we go. I told them our bench might get crowded here, so let's see how it goes. It's all good. So, yeah, tonight we're going to be talking about change. And, gosh, there's so many different directions we could go to. But I really want to thank Aime. She gave us a little bit of a head start with some of this stuff, with some of these myths that really go out
Absolutely.
There. And how'd you come up with the list, Aime?
Well, it's really interesting. I've been doing a lot of training on navigating change, just in general or organizational, through employee assistance programs. I'm doing a lot of it. So it's really made me stop and think about how we deal with change and what people think about change. And I really believe that this is, if you can become a really good change agent, if you can learn how to adapt with change, you could pretty much write your own ticket, I think, in the world.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's right, our own ticket. An own ticket
yeah.
of change.
That's right.
That's good. That's
yeah.
good. So Aime had shared with Jeremiah and I a couple weeks ago a really great handout that had all kinds of really great things. It was more work-oriented, but it was definitely something that you could apply it to other aspects of your life. And one of the concepts that I'd love us to talk about for a little bit before we go into some of these myths is the analogy of being white in white water. So Aime, you want to talk about that?
Well, yeah, because we're part of the myth, one of the myths that came to me. If I can just get through this change, things are going to be stable. Well, you know what? They never are. There's always another change coming, and if you can learn to adapt with that. I was talking to a friend recently about this, and she's like, I'm in a tsunami. And I'm like, okay, me too. But what I'm doing is I'm working to surf it, be on top of it, and she was like dead smack in the middle being thrown around. So I think from that perspective of dealing with change, knowing that it's always going to be happening, but how do I learn to go with that flow or be on top of that tsunami instead of being sucked down?
Yeah, because with that analogy of the white water, it's perfect with the whole fun tsunami idea. It goes later on in that handout to talk about people who have mastered a kayak. Exactly the same thing. They learn how to be on top of the surface and be able to feel that it's a thrilling activity as opposed to something that they're getting battered around and not feeling like they have any way of really being on the water besides just trying to, you know, fight for their lives when it comes to a sense of, you know, being able to just survive. And I think that was a great analogy with that. So anything with that for you, Jeremiah?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I just love the whole analogy and about how she mentioned about staying above the waves and staying above it all, because, you know, that's essentially what it comes down to. Anytime change occurs, it's about waiting out the storm and understanding that it's just the beginning, that there's still going to be more to come, that it's just the initial change. But, yeah, I love the whole analogy. Being a surfer myself, I really love the analogy.
Oh, well, there you go. Perfect.
Well, you know, then you could really talk about this. I mean, you know, when it's like, you know, hanging 10, dude, right? Being able to have that
absolutely.
All happen in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So is there anything with surfing that you can see with that, where it talks about being able to be on top of the waves?
Well, I mean, it's also understanding, too, just like you said with the kayak, sometimes with the waves, you got to duck underneath them to get the wave that you want. And I think that's just an important thing. But it's just about understanding, you know, your footing and different things like that. And I think that's, you know, what we're going to be going into It's just helping to understand the different waves that are going to hit you.
Okay. Okay.
So I think one of the biggest myths that I'd really attack, whenever I start talking to people about change, I first ask them, what are your feelings about change? And what I get most of the time, so let's just have a conversation about that. So the myth is that change is scary and should be avoided. So when you think about change or you're working with other people in change, is there fears that come up? Do you see people being fearful of it?
Go ahead, Jamal.
Definitely. I think as us being human beings, we get ourselves into patterns. And patterns is what makes us comfortable, what allows us to go through our day by day. And anytime something new comes, it always changes the patterns in which we do things, which is very scary and can be. But again, it's just on how you interpret it. It can either be something that you can ride this wave and you can be successful, or you can just allow it to smack you in the face and knock you over. It's entirely up to you.
Well, and I think part of what you're saying is that it moves you out of your comfort zone, right? So
mm-hmm.
when you're, here's my sweet spot, I know how to be here, I know how to ride this, but then it kind of gets boring, right? It's like,
yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
I know how to do this, but I want a little white water to maybe make this ride a little more exciting, and that moves
mm-hmm.
us out of the comfort zone. And if we have this fine balance here, people are saying, courageous people don't do things because they're not afraid of them. They're afraid of them and do them anyway. So it's finding that balance. You don't want to be such a risk taker that you're taking too much risk, but
mm-hmm.
finding balance is what is the vision? What do you really want to create? And I think any time to move out of that comfort zone can be a little bit frightening. I guess the analogy I like with that is going on a roller coaster or some really frightening kind of ride like that. You're simultaneously frightened because it gives you that excitement, but
mm-hmm.
you're excited at the same time, hopefully, or you wouldn't get on there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the other day I heard a really great talk, and it's reminding me about it, is I heard a talk about somebody going to a movie, and you're in the middle of the movie, and you want to be able to just know the answers to everything. And he used the analogy of conception, the deception, that one where it had it where that your realities were all folding on top of one another. And, you're looking at
mm-hmm.
this going, what the heck is going on, right? And,
mm-hmm.
he said it would be like you standing up in the middle of a movie and talking to the projector and saying, what's this all about? When actually you just have to sit and watch really what's happening for the whole thing and have a sense of, like, it's going to showing itself as I'm willing to be patient to see how all this works out. And I think that was a really good analogy, too, when it comes to a sense of change. Sometimes we just really have to kind of sit back and allow things to kind of show themselves as we're going through a process. I think that's a really good thing
absolutely.
To think about as well. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Creativity is like that. Anytime, you're looking at something, you don't really know exactly what it is. That's about part of being a good critical thinker and being creative. I had written a chapter on creativity at work, and I worked for the federal government for 20 years. Of course, we grew up in the military, so I acronym the crap out of everything. And so what I did is on a whiteboard, I put chaos going down, right? And I what words, really got into a meditative state about it. And what came to me was chaos is really clarity, holding, and open space. And Meg Wheatley wrote about the chaos theory. Brainstorming is a chaos process. And what you do is you just throw a bunch of stuff around, and then you kind of wait, right, and you work through it. So chaos is a normal part of moving from one place to the next. But it does take, I think, some expertise in having some resilience skills, right, and being able to, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between incubating, right, and that waiting for that clarity, and procrastinating. And honestly, you're the only one that knows if you're procrastinating or not.
Well, would
absolutely.
You say that procrastinating is really fear?
I think procrastinating is a lot of things. It could be fear. It could be frustration. It could be I don't know what to do next. It could be I don't really want to do this, but somebody else thinks I'm supposed to.
Fear.
Yeah.
Each way when you say it, that's fair. That's fair. Ah,
yep.
That's fair, too.
Well, I guess a lot of everything boils down to either love or fear, right? So, I mean, yeah. So that's
right,
the big
right,
to jump everything into. But I think it's when people tell me I'm a procrastinator, what that does for me is that starts a conversation. Well, when do you procrastinate? What
mm-hmm.
kind of things are happening? Is that serving you? And I get, you know, I've been a college professor for many years, and people tell me, oh, I work better under pressure. You know, the day before my major paper is due, then I do it. No, you don't. That's a bunch of crap. That's what you've trained yourself to do. I'm guessing that paper isn't as good as if you'd spent a couple weeks on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Jeremiah.
So I think that people have had trained themselves, right?
Throw it back at Jeremiah.
Right, do you have the courage to be the best you can be? And sometimes that means you have to change the way you do things.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to patterns and being comfortable in your day-to-day patterns and something changing it. Because if you think about it, there's really no positives that come with growth. Because when I hear growth, the first thing that comes to my mind is growing pain. And I think that's what people associate growth with. It's just uncomfortable. It has such a negative stigma behind it that it itself, just the word, I think, can sometimes scare people away and sometimes makes people fearful because then what do I have left to achieve? If I've grown to the position I want to be, what's left?
And what I see in organizations, the people who struggle the most when a new system comes in or new leadership, when they are the best at that, in that, whatever, the sales team, or they are the best at that type of program, the only way they have to go is down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the people who are really good at it tend to panic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't think people think about that. Think, oh, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
They'll just jump to the next thing. Maybe, but maybe not. So that's why you've got to be really pay attention to what's going on with people in change. And so we talked about, yes, that it can be scary. Yeah, I think most times you get people honest, you hear the same kind of things. Jeremiah just said that, oh, my God, you know, it's not going to be good. I have stuff to go through. Okay, there's some of that. And, again, it's attitude, but it's also, do I have the skills? There's a lot of skills involved with being a good change agent. And another myth that came to me is change is exciting and should be fully embraced immediately. All right, that all sounds good on paper, doesn't it? But again, that coming from that Pollyanna perspective is that you may miss something if you're not dealing with what's really happening here. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later and really owning what's going on for you and for those that are around you. And Dr. Seuss is one of my mentors. And a quote that I want to share with you is one of my favorites of dealing with change. And it's from the book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, which is one of my favorite gifts to give people when they graduate from something. And what he said, you'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to great heights, except when you don't, because sometimes you won't.
Yeah.
So, yay, okay. And sometimes you think a change, right, is going to be really great. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. I was just working with a group the other day, and this amazing young man, first-time manager of a group, he was part of the group, and then he got promoted. And now they're all, oh, my God. You know, it's like, now you really think you're a hot shot or whatever, or you think you're better than us, and you've changed. You'll love this. This is the best line I've heard in a long time. Really, really amazing. They're trying to get him to not push them to be accountable is what you're trying to do. They're trying to trying to get away with things. And he said, I haven't changed. My responsibilities have.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I know,
that's
right?
Yeah, me too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a valedictorian, of course.
No.
I mean,
that's
a great thing for just on a personal level to say. It's like, I haven't changed, my responsibilities have. And I mean, that could be just taking responsibility for yourself.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
When it comes to just being able to move and have change, and just looking at, you know, my perspective, you know? Wow,
and when
awesome.
You change, sometimes your friends change, right? Sometimes the things in your life change. And if people really like what you do for them and how you do it, and you're like, oh, that doesn't work for me anymore, my responsibilities have changed, or have whatever you want to, you know, my vision has changed, who I really want to step into being has changed, you may have to lose some people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I love that.
That can be hard.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm going back to that, looking that, you know, I haven't changed my responsibilities have. That can be on a personal level. That can be in business level. That could be a spiritual level. I mean, you're looking at all the different ways that you would, you know, take a look at that when it comes to just your perspectives and your core beliefs and things that you're working with. Oh, that's just awesome.
I know, right? I mean, I told him I'm going to steal that because it's really good.
Yeah, I would totally steal that, and I'd run. I'd be running with that.
Mm-hmm. Jeremiah, did you have something?
No, I just said that gave me goosebumps. I really like that.
Yeah, I know, right? I agree with that, and I think it was like you're kind of taking it out of that. This isn't about you, even, right? He's like, this is who I'm choosing to be now, and I'm stepping into
mm-hmm.
this. You know, mm-hmm. it isn't that. And yeah, maybe I have changed, right, in a different way than they're thinking, right? So yeah, right. It gives you, that's a great thing to think about and play with. So so another myth that came to me, and again, these just came to me this afternoon. So there, I'm sure there's plenty more and in different ways. But this is a favorite. Let's play with this for a little bit. Effective planning and action plans ensure that change will not affect me. What do you think of that?
Well, even reading that to me is you're already in the midst of change just because you're doing the planning and the action steps.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already talking about change. Because
yep.
you can't really do any of those things without change. You know, all those things have to be components of what you're doing and how you're doing or not doing things, you know, with the planning and logistics of something.
You know, maybe I'm the only one, but never in my entire life has a plan I created gone the way I thought it would.
With my thing with, you know, when I do weddings and things like that, I always walk into setting up a wedding with a plan B. I haven't even defined that sometimes. So like I'm in the middle, like I come in and the cake's supposed to be decorated a certain way from what the bride and I have talked about. I walk in, that cake's totally different, and I'm just supposed to make it work.
Plenty. Well, I just say, funny thing, I get calls for different, you know, doing different topics and different, you know, different things. And so weeks ago, I got called to present on change and at this really cool place that I'm excited to go to. And today, I get an email and they say, oh, it's about creating healthy workplaces. Okay, I'm cool with that, but other people might have been losing their mind. That's not what I signed up for. It's something I'd rather do, so I'm excited
mm-hmm.
about it. But what if it had been a topic I didn't want to do at all? How would I have handled it? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? And even in creating workplaces, we're talking about change.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the dynamics of whatever are like, okay, how would we move that? How would we make it something different? Change. It's all change. You know?
I mean, it's so funny. You know, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but when people do needs assessments, like say, to me, needs assessments are kind of a joke. Because we need a needs assessment, then we'll set up the training and the coaching. I'm like, okay, sure, we'll do that. Because most of the time when I walk in, the problem everybody brings me in to solve isn't the problem at all. And
mm-hmm.
in doing the needs assessment, we've already changed what's happening. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you study something, it's like, how can you ever have a neutral research on anything? Because when you start researching it, when you start studying it, you're already changing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just interesting, fun facts, things to think about.
Yeah.
And
go ahead. I was going to say, one of the things that I've been just noticing lately is when it comes to how fast we're all working and doing and working with technology, and how they're saying that part of our challenge is to be keeping up with a computer. In the way that we're thinking faster and changing and all that, it really is a plan. You know, we're in the midst of just that. I think it isn't necessarily about change. Maybe it might be this at the pace and what the pressures that we put on ourselves to be able to be competing with artificial intelligence. So I think part of it too is that stuff that it really comes to being at a level of being able to define it in a different way, maybe than we've really been putting it out there.
Yeah. Wow.
So I think that's an interesting
one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the last one, which I think is to me the most significant, which I'm hoping this is going to cause a lot of what? And I really want to, this is the hardest to me, the myth of change. What? The that
change, the change process is not like the grief process.
Mm-hmm.
So in organizational behavior books, they talk about here is the change process in an organization. And so let me read you these and tell me what you think. So shock, an intense feeling of being out of balance. Disbelief, a feeling of reality that why is this change happening? Guilt, a feeling that personal error has caused this change. Projection, the act of blaming someone else for the change. Integration, attempting to turn the change into something positive. And then acceptance, either through resignation or enthusiasm, that the new state of affairs is accepted. Does that sound like grief to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, right? And I don't know if you've ever thought of this. Jeremy, it would be really interesting to hear your take on this. That when there is a change in the workplace, again, can you be positive? This fellow got a promotion. Yay. Now all these people that he used to work with, you know, are not happy that he's now managing them. So it's a positive change, and there's things that you've got to deal with. And so for me, I know there's a lot of grief in the workplace, and pretty much every place is our workplace, isn't it? Because anytime there's a shift and a change, there's feelings that need to be dealt with, and most of the time we just, oh, it's going to be great, or it's going to be awful, and they run away. So I'd love to get your guys' take on, you know, grief and change, especially, well, and certainly in our lives, but I think where it's really ignored is in our workplaces.
I think one of the biggest things in the workplace is it's projection. I think especially nowadays is I think there's not enough internalizing. I think a lot of it is projecting that it's the company that wants this. This isn't something that's needed. And I think that's a lot of why people have such issue with change is because they don't want to internalize themselves. And the reason being, I think, is because we can externalize everything. If you have a thought, you can say it to your phone. Your phone will show it to you. If you want to watch something, everything is at your fingertips these days. So nothing is back in the day, you know, do I want to get up and change the channel? Do I want to wait for the internet to load? And I think a lot of that reason why there's such a struggle right now with change is because in our normal average lives, we really don't have things that we got to accommodate to. It's almost everything is accommodating to us. If I want food, I can have it brought in. If I want this, I can have it. So there's no real extra thought. And I think that's part of the reason, at least that's what I feel is one of the big reasons, is there's too much projecting. We are in a time of medication, not meditation. And I think that's a part of the reason why that, because that's what just stands out to me about all of this.
That's beautiful. And culturally, we have a real problem with isolation, depression, and suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it. And we are, and it's also in our workplaces, the dirty secret people are not talking about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And how about you, Robin?
Deep.
But, you know, with the whole grief and change, especially in the workplace, what comes to you with that?
Well, what came to me with that is just like looking at all the different reasons people get flowers. And they're all about change. I mean, whether you're getting married,
wow.
We have birthdays, people are having,
yeah.
You know, they're celebrating people passing, things like that. It's all about change. It's all about change.
You know,
and I think it's beautiful. Yeah, and I think it's beautiful how people, we instinctively know to go to nature to seek a sense of some kind of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And have some kind of sense of beauty within that change. And you know, people are like, oh, you know, like you're saying, oh, great, you're getting married. Well, how many people freak out on their wedding day because they're realizing that that's a really big change? Things are dying.
Right.
The
Absolutely.
Way I used to be, the you know, yeah, my life as I've known it's changed. My relationships are all changing. Big changes.
Yep.
Big changes.
And
I think in some ways,
right?
Yeah,
yeah,
roles, responsibilities, yeah. So it's all about when it comes to, you know, I thank you for that, Amy, because that would be a really great presentation that I could use when it comes to a sense of the value of flowers when it comes to change and being able to look at that and the gift that it really gives to people in just such a very beautiful and powerful way that they may not even be realizing that that's what they're seeking, to have some sense of peace about it, and a sense of showing beauty even within that. And I mean, nature is a perfect example of change. We're constantly renewal and erosion. Yeah, I mean, without erosion, we wouldn't be able to have the renewal that we have. And when it comes to the grieving process, it's looking at where we are with the planet and how many challenges we're getting with people making, you know, responsible changes and non-responsible changes with what's going on with things like that, and how we can still make changes with different choices that we're making. You know, when it says, you know, I haven't changed, but my responsibilities have, well, maybe I am willing to change and being able to do that. It reminds me of an older friend that I have. And she's been in this, like, it's almost like you get to some of these people and they're on these records where they talk about the same thing over and over again.
Right.
And I actually talked to her today about a couple issues that she'd been talking about for years with me, like 4 or 5 years. And I looked at her and I just said, you know what, you're not like that anymore. Because really she'd been kind of looking at it and wanting to make a change. And I said, I just don't see you doing that anymore. And it was almost like giving her permission to realize that she could put that down and walk into a different way of looking at it and talking about it. So you don't get stuck on those records
anymore.
Somebody
else who loves her can hold that vision for her. There is nothing more powerful. So you need to have people who can see you at the other end of that change. I want to finish here with something that I think can be really profound, something that we can do, that I do all the time with myself and others, dealing with grief wherever you are. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she did a lot of writing on grief, and here's one of my favorite quotes from her. She said, "Learn to get in touch with the silence within yourself, and know that everything in life has a purpose." So when you're butting up against a change, not making it good or bad, but when you're butting up a change, I have 3 questions for you. Number 1, I want you to ask yourself, what am I losing in this change? And then secondly, I want you to ask yourself, what am I gaining in this change? And maybe do some journaling, maybe find a trusted friend, maybe even a coach or a counselor. And then last but not least, I believe if you can remember that I did something successfully once, it helps you build your hope skills to do it again. So the 3rd question is, what event that first appeared to be negative in your life had a higher purpose?
That's great.
So those are some things that I think be good homework assignments, and you get in the practice of asking yourself those questions all, you know, on a regular basis, and do it with trusted friends and partners, it can really help you change how you look at everything, because you're dealing with, you know, the parts that maybe you're not so happy. You're stepping, that's why, you know, what I gained from this. You know, even a good friend of mine, we were very, very close and did amazing work together. She was very ill for 5 years, had a couple of transplants, and on the second one she died. And, of course, yes, that was very sad, and it was very hard, and it really missed her. And I miss her to this day, every day. And what I realized was I didn't have to worry about her anymore. And a part of me felt really guilty about that. But it was a positive for me that I knew she, you know, that it wasn't something that I had to spend time and energy on. And I knew she wouldn't want me to anyway. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's something so healing about having one or two people that you can have just this kind of conversation with, and having a change buddy,
I like that.
And
yeah,
a change
absolutely.
Buddy. Yeah, I just made that up. I'm going to patent it. Okay, change buddy. Anyway,
do it.
One of the greatest gifts you can give yourself is having people that you can be real in that moment, talk about what's going on, and really just hear you. It's not a matter of fixing anything. It's about allowing you to be in this place where you can just say what you need to say and be walking through the process, and to know that you're being heard. Such a gift.
Yeah.
Such a gift for people to be able to be in that place. Yeah. So, you know, that's one thing we hope to be here at the cafe and be able to give people, like you said, you know, give you a few questions to be able to go and have a conversation with, and invite people to listen to this conversation and have them listen to it, and then, you know, get together at a cafe, which is always great, and, you know, be able to sit and talk about it. Give yourself, you know, some time just to sit and reflect on stuff. And, you know, gosh, I can't even imagine that there wouldn't be just an overflow of wonderful things that will come from that can be healing and just transformative when you're able to just say it and move from that point. So anything you guys would like to say before we're ready to say goodnight for this episode?
Well, Jeremiah, I'm really grateful that you joined us, and play with those three questions, you know, everybody who's listening, and find a change buddy.
Yeah, change buddy. I love that. How about you, Jeremiah? Hey, change buddy, what do you think? Did we lose him? Oh, I think we lost him. So anyway, I want to thank Jeremiah as well for being on the call. And next week, we're going to be talking about the myths of success. And I think it might be really great. What? Success? What? Yeah.
Yes.
What the heck is success? And then some of those wonderful questions. And thanks, Amy, for putting those together. That was a really great conversation.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to invite Amy and Jeremiah to go through these questions, and we might be moving that into maybe a success theme as well, because I think that would be great to be able to add that to the conversation. And we want to thank you all here, for joining us here at the cafe. Talk to you soon. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.